endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Praise God. We have the same gospel today that the Christians in the early church heard and preached, and we are commanded to take it into our communities. How wonderful that we have been given the script. We've been given his words. We don't have to reinvent the gospel, nor do we have to add or subtract from it. In fact, we're worried specifically about not doing that. We simply take the message of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the people around us. We tell people that while we're all sinners, there is a loving God in heaven who loves us so much that he offers salvation through his Son, and that anyone who believes on him can be saved. That's the message we take, and we don't want to mess the message up. We just speak what God has commanded us to speak, and we speak it exactly. There's an example here, and some of us have a little more computer knowledge than others, and like if I say the word windows, most of us my age are think of the side of the building, things we see out, right? Now the computer geeks, they probably think first thing of the operating system on the computer, which is called Windows. Okay? And that can lead to some confusion. The story here is that a bitterly cold morning, and a man who had just arrived at work when he got a text from his wife that simply said, "Windows frozen, won't open." He texted back, "Pour some lukewarm water over it, and then gently tap the edges with the hammer." About 10 minutes later, you already can figure out what happened. He received another text with the words, "Computer really messed up now." You know, how true is that? You know, it's so easy to mess up our communication. You know, the words and the context. If we're not in person, it can get really, especially in text or email. I used to tell people all the time, don't put stuff in email because you lose the context and the meaning so often. And when, you know, we have enough trouble communicating with each other without some of that extra stuff. So it's just a great example. Because while the wife heard the directions from her husband, they were not on the same page, were they? As God messengers, we cannot afford to be not on the same page with God. We must hear God's message and then take it out to the others just as he has spoken it. The good example, why we don't mess with what he tells us to tell people. You know, it's pretty clear, pretty plain. Don't mess it up. God's plan of deliverance began with a command given to his spokesman and followed by a script. But God's message to Moses also included a caution. There was a caution involved. After a history of hundreds of years of bondage, it may have appeared to the Israelites as though God had forgotten them, or as though there was nothing he could do to save them. Yeah, it'd be pretty easy to give up hope after hundreds of years in slavery, I'm sure. But their situation was never out of God's control. And he gave Moses a word of caution concerning his reception with Pharaoh. He told him to expect the hardness of Pharaoh. The hardness. Commissioned by God and armed with a specific message for Pharaoh, Moses might have imagined that there would be instant obedience on the part of Pharaoh to God's word. But God warned him that this would not be the case. Rather, when Moses would stand before Pharaoh and relay God's message, he would be met with hostile resistance. Again, our text in Exodus 7:3 says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." Moses undoubtedly felt a degree of surprise and bewilderment as he heard this caution. But God wanted Moses to learn to rely on his control, even when faced with Pharaoh's hardened and stubborn heart. Sometimes we have a faulty view of how God works when we go out to witness to people or talk to a friend about Jesus. We think in terms of how the weather is going to be for going door to door or how receptive the people in our area are. And I got to admit, guilty on both counts, you know, going, okay, it's a little too snowy and rainy, windy out there and all that, neighborhoods, nobody there is going to ever turn. And we put our human connections on these things instead of just stepping out in faith. And But that's not always how it works. God has told us that speaking for him will often involve trial and hardship on our part. And sometimes the rejection of God's word, we can rely on God, however, and trust him for the results. And I can't tell you how many times we went ahead and knocked on a door what I thought was crazy, and all of a sudden they're interested. God is just so good that way. And to convince us that it's really not us. And we're just not really sure how, you know, in our own strength, what is going to work and what isn't. We just know God can work. Luke 9:23, there in your worksheet, says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Just put all that stuff away, follow Jesus. God warned Moses of Pharaoh's rejection, so Moses would not become discouraged when it happened. Take courage in the same way. You may attempt to share the gospel with someone and then feels as if they aren't interested or receptive. And again, so often gone out with, a newbie that wants to go out and they go soul winning. And right away they get kind of frustrated, many do, because why won't they listen to me? I'm just trying to share the words of life. I'm giving them God's word. Why won't these people even talk to us? You know, and it's easy to feel that way because they're not receptive. But it's not up to us to be faithful based on the response of the people. It's only up to us to obey the command of God and do what he asks us to do. You might notice that God told Moses, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." That brings up the question, did God want Pharaoh to reject him and actually make him do it? What about Pharaoh's free will? You know, it's sometimes a popular discussion to have with someone. Well, we discover the answer in another Bible passage that speaks of this same incident. But here, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. There on your worksheet, 1 Samuel 6:6. "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed?" From these two passages together, we see that God will only harden the heart of someone who has already rejected his message. It's not as though God is determined that certain people must reject him, or that he will not allow them a chance to choose. In fact, God's way is just the opposite of that. In the case of the Egyptians, God had already reached out to them. You remember, as you recall, through Joseph. They had several years with Joseph, and now he was reaching out again through Moses. But the people and the Pharaohs continually rejected him. Such is the case with people in our culture today. Their hearts become harder every time they reject God. I'm sure some of us have run into that. You know, you try to share with somebody and, well, I'm not interested, but they might. Well, the more you try, what? Sometimes they close off more and more. It gets even harder. And that's them hardening their own hearts. And unfortunately, sometimes God will finally cut them off. We don't know when that's going to be, but he'll just say, okay, they've had enough chances. And it's unfortunate. As with Pharaoh, we see today that resistance to God begins with a stubborn heart, unwilling to bend to his right to rule. We see an example of this vividly portrayed through a picture of the ancient Greek world in Romans 1. This chapter tells us that these people knew there was a creator God, but they chose to reject him and worship his creation instead of him. They chose also to reject his plan of relationships between male and female and began to live however they wanted to live. God reached out to them, but they rejected and hardened their hearts until finally God gave them up to uncleanness. Unfortunately, we see that going on in droves today again. On your worksheet there, Romans 1:24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust," excuse me, "of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." It was not that God didn't reach out to them and simply give them up. He reached out to them over and over again. But they continued to harden their hearts until God finally gave them up to their own desires and let them have their own way. Tragically, people today choose to harden their hearts to God. We don't know when someone has reached the point where God gives them up and lets them have their own way, but it is a terrible thing to say no to the Almighty God. Bad news. History is replete or full of men who harden their hearts to God, even after much contact with the Bible and some of the truths of Christianity. Karl Marx is one. He's one of the more prominent figures. He grew up in a Jewish home and converted to Lutheranism as a young man. Sadly, however, he finally became an atheist and created the philosophy of communism. Charles Darwin is another good example. Although he had a religious background and even studied to be a minister in college, he never allowed the truth of God's word to truly penetrate in his heart. He proposed the theory of evolution that completely contradicts the truths of God's word and ended his life as an agnostic. They'd heard the word, they knew the word, maybe better than many of us, and yet they turned against it, hardened their own hearts. Not that they didn't have opportunity. Pharaoh would not listen to the message of God, and he certainly would not obey. He considered himself to be a god, been told that since a baby, and therefore believed he had no use for the Israelites' God. But Moses also had, let her be, the help of God, the help. After warning Moses of the reception he would find at Pharaoh's throne, God encouraged Moses by promising that he would triumph, and that after seeing the display of God's power and wonders, Pharaoh would let them go. Again from our text, Exodus 7:4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. To put his hand upon Egypt would be to show God's great power and wonders. God had a twofold purpose in this plan of deliverance. First, he was going to release Israel from bondage. His purpose all along had been to bring them out of their suffering and their affliction. And when he set Israel free, he was also bringing out a large host and going to turn them into an organized nation, literally an army. Second, God was going to show Egypt that he is the one true God. By the time of all these judgments and wonders were over, every Egyptian would see who the Hebrews' God truly was. Wow. Don't we look forward to the day when that's going to happen here? Everybody's going to know at some point. We see throughout Scripture that God's miraculous works often draw others to see the power of God and then hopefully the truth of his salvation. A couple of verses there on your worksheet. First John 12, or John 12, 31 through 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And then John 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This was the ultimate purpose of God in displaying his power. He wanted the Egyptian and the Israelites alike to see his strength and miracles, believe in him, and acknowledge him as the only true God. Same thing he wants from us all today. And then God gives, number three, a confirmation. He gives a confirmation. We've seen some of that, the confirmation here last week. The power of God was now going to be seen against the Egyptians' power for the first time. First, he did it through a repeated instruction. Sometimes things need to get repeated before it sinks in. When Moses and Aaron first confronted Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, they failed to show the miracles that God had commanded them to show to Pharaoh. Exodus 5, 1 through 2, if you'll remember, says, And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Again, he didn't know him. So what's it to me there, Moses? God had already told Moses to throw the rod down so it'd become a snake. But in the first visit, Moses had not done that. So God repeated his instruction for how he wanted Moses and Aaron to confront Pharaoh. Again from our text, Exodus 7, 8, 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Sometimes we need instructions to be repeated. Every Christian knows that we're supposed to be a witness and tell people about Jesus, but sometimes we fail to do what we know we should do. However, God's plan is what always works the best, and we often need to be reminded of it, just as God reminded Moses of his plan for confronting the Pharaoh. Then he gives letter B a repeated assurance, some assurances. When God repeated the instructions to Moses, he also gave him a repeated assurance of his faithfulness. He reassures what will happen. Exodus 7, 9, and it shall become a serpent. Reassured him, this is going to happen, guys. God reminded Moses that as he was faithful to simply obey God, the miracle would happen and God's power would be proven to Pharaoh. On your worksheet, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells us, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. That's an assurance to us. When you ask your boss to attend church, talk to a friend about Jesus, or share the gospel with someone on your shared commute, you don't have to feel like you're all alone. God has the power. He'll be with you, just as he promised. And when you take the message out, he will do the work in people's hearts. Matthew 28:20 there says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Great promise, great assurance that he has for us. God will be with you as you obey him, just as he was with Moses. If Moses would do his part of obedience, then God would prove his power through the miracle. Then we follow that with number four, a commitment. You need to have a commitment. It was time for Moses and Aaron to go before Pharaoh. They were simply conduits for God's strength. They were nothing special, but God would work through them and use a simple rod to display his miraculous power. So letter A, they had bold obedience. Bold obedience. God had given Moses the command, cautioned him about the difficulties, confirmed the calling, and helped and encouraged Moses. But at some point, Moses had to approach Pharaoh and do what God told him to do. Exodus 7:10, from our text again, and Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Obeying God took a great deal of faith. Moses had to walk in before the most powerful man in the world and throw his stick on the ground, believing that God would turn that rod of wood into a living snake. And true to his word, God did his part of the work. And I thought about that, yes, he expected God to do that, right? But he still, I know I would, I'd feel a little bit relieved when it really happened. You know, it's kind of, whew, thank you, God, praise God. But how often does that really actually happens in our life? You know, we take God at his word and we step out in faith. Wow, God did it. He accomplished it. It's kind of a relief, but it's also just an encouragement and reassurance again that God's word is true. And he just doesn't ask us anything that he won't follow up on. As God sent Moses, so he has sent his church. We are his messengers today, and we must be faithful in proclaiming his truth. John 20:21 says in full, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He's asked us to do that, commanded us to do that. Who will your Pharaoh be this week? Is there a neighbor, a boss, or a friend who you need to share God's gospel message with? It doesn't matter how they respond. It's simply your job to get the message to them. We just need to tell them. Let God do what he will. I think there seems to be, or should be, more and more opportunities. People questioning everything that's going on in the world and want answers or want delivery, whatever it might be. They might not like our answer, but it's okay to give it to them because it's the truth. And we need to do that. The message and miracle weren't received the way Moses and Aaron probably believed they would be. For just as they were used by God to speak to Pharaoh to lead them to believe in God, so the Egyptian sorcerers were used by Satan to convince Pharaoh to doubt God. Put a little doubt in Pharaoh's mind. Exodus 7, 11 through 12, our verses say, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. When the power of God was displayed, there was immediate satanic opposition as Satan attempted to duplicate the miracle of God. If you're going to be involved in sharing Christ with someone else, there will be satanic opposition against you. Spiritual warfare is real. And Satan doesn't want to give up territory or to see people believe in Jesus. Satan still works to deceive people through the world, the flesh, and his influence. And I thought, you know, when we hit opposition, we should take that as kind of a badge, an honor, you know, not to be discouraged by it, but I must be doing something right if Satan's after me. And just to have that added, thank you, Jesus, that I could serve enough to get Satan's attention. You know, he promises that he can't get to us. So throw it back in his face, saying, hey, get behind me, Satan. I'm doing what God asked me to do. That'll shut him up. So there on your worksheet, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It might be in total darkness, but we need to try to shine the light on that. Here in Egypt, we see that there was sorcery and demonism as Satan sought to exert his power over God. This is why our faith should never be based on signs and wonders alone, but on the word of God. We can base it on that. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 there in your worksheet. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, they'll be found out, they'll be displayed. We just don't believe everybody that says, I'm a messenger of God, and then tell us some wild, far-out thing that we know's not. We can know that and discern that. Satan has power to duplicate, replicate, or attempt to copy things that only God alone can do, which is why we must be so careful to judge everything we see and hear by the truth of the Word of God. Moses exercised bold obedience, yet the counterfeit magicians fought against it. Just as we see here, when we try to serve God and advance the gospel, some kind of opposition will come into our lives. But don't let the devil have the victory. Don't give in to him. Be faithful to the Lord and simply give him your bold obedience. He will bless it. He will bless it. Which brings us to letter B, blessed obedience. Blessed obedience. Satan's power could never match the power of Almighty God, and the snakes of the sorcerers were immediately destroyed by the miraculous snake God had made through Aaron's rod. Exodus 7:12 again. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. What an incredible sight that must have been. We don't know how many magicians there were, but as soon as their rods turned into snakes, Aaron's snake ate them all up. Moses and Aaron had yet another visible reason, a visible reason to say, that's our God. He has the power to save and deliver. Look what God just did. And that's good words to share with people when we, you know, just have a good recovery we hear about this morning. Only God does that. You know, and it's good to say that and tell people, look what God just did. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. Only our God could do that. God blessed the obedience of his servants, and that's what this is all about. Yes, there are many hardened hearts in the world, but God can still touch hardened hearts and save souls today because he is more powerful than anything Satan can throw against us. Romans 1:16, it's there on your worksheet. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that just struck me. I'm going to give you a little extra assignment this week as you do your daily devotions there on the front part of on the notes. I want you to write this out in your own handwriting in Romans 1:16 that we just read. Just write out, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, we just need to get that in our own thoughts and hearts, people. That's why I say that's your additional assignment. I don't think I've given one out for a long time, but, you know, just say, I am doing this. I am not ashamed, God. I want you to know I am not ashamed. And say that from your heart to him. God is still in the life-changing business. His desire is to deliver souls from bondage. But he needs someone bold enough to step into their world and invite them to hear about someone who can change their lives forever. The Lord Jesus Christ. God bless Moses' obedience, and he will bless ours as well. So in conclusion, we've had command, caution, a confirmation, and then a commitment. God began this miracle by giving Moses the simple command to speak for him. He cautioned Moses that Pharaoh would have a proud heart and reject the message at first. Then God confirmed his calling on Moses' life by reminding him that he would not be facing Pharaoh alone. God would be with him and would prove himself faithful as Moses obeyed him. If the story had ended there, nothing would have ever been accomplished. Even though God had given his promises, the rest of the story depended on Moses doing what God had asked him to do. And when Moses did, God miraculously displayed and established his power in this first meeting with Pharaoh. God commands us to give the gospel, but we must make the commitment to do what he has called us to do. We can't control the response of others when we share the gospel, but we can trust that God will use our willingness and bless his work. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your challenge, really, this morning to go along with your game plan, Lord, to just follow the command and commit ourselves to share the gospel at every opportunity that we can have. Lord, help us to be great discerners of the information and the things that are out there and be able to use those as lead-ins to sharing with those that are unsaved, those that are lost, on the glorious light of the gospel and what you offer them. Just embolden us, I pray, Lord, this week as we just go towards Thanksgiving and maybe meeting with unsaved family members and talking to neighbors and all, that we can be full of the gospel light, like a lighthouse, to show them the way to victory. Lord, that you would work in those hearts that we are able to share with. I thank you, Lord, that it's really not up to us, nor should we be discouraged. But Lord, we just need to be obedient to you. So we thank you for that word this morning. And we ask a blessing on the service to come. And as we remember exactly what you've done for us, then that too would embolden us, Lord, to remember your sacrifice, the shedding of your blood, and the giving of your body, that we might have eternal life. Thank you for all that this morning. Just ask a blessing on our time to come. And this week, as we go through what you have set before us, we ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So this week, our devotions, number one is Beyond Our Understanding. And, you know, just I think yesterday or 2 days ago, there's an article. You're going to love this if you didn't see it. You know, you get a lot of questions. Well, the Bible's in error because God created light and then he created the firmaments and put the stars. You go, how's that possible? You know, there's no light, right? Scientists this week discovered in the darkest, emptiest part of space, guess what? They said it's filled with light. No idea why, but they said there's light everywhere, even in the dark parts of space. And I go, these crazy guys are proving God's word. I thought, how wonderful. You know, we don't understand it. You know, we're thinking. Science discovers it. Of course, they never give credit to God. We don't know. I wanted to type in, I know. God created light. I thought, that was just a wonderful story. Pastor, you can imagine, got a real thrill out of that, being the science guy. Anyway, but it's beyond our understanding. Number two, how long? That's a question on all our minds and hearts anymore. How long, Lord? Well, I don't think too much longer. Let's take some people with us. Number three, God meant it for good. You know, it doesn't seem like it, our trials, tribulations, but God meant it for good. Number four, it's a good one, trusting God no matter what happens. Trusting him no matter what happens. Things don't go right, people reject us, yada, on and on. But we can trust God no matter what. His word is true. It's exciting. And then number five, tried with fire. Oh, I pray for relief from that one. Amen. But sometimes we get tried through fire that we might come forth as gold. So good devotions this week. Looking forward to that as we enter into a thankful period. Remember to give him thanks and glory this week.